Storylines Midwest is a project of the American Library Association, funded by the National Endowment for the Humanities and Barnes & Noble Booksellers.
When you look down on the Midwestern states from an airplane, you see a patchwork made up of even squares. The squares are 640 acres, 1 mile on each side. 36 of those squares make a township. Inside that grid is where we live. From Michigan Radio in Ann Arbor, this is Storylines Midwest. I'm Charity Nebbe.
And I'm Keith Taylor. Today, writer Michael Martone will help us explore the townships of the Midwest, and writers Ray Youngbear, Mary Swander, and Joseph Giha will tell us about their Midwestern origins.
We'd also like to hear from you with your stories and what it means to you to be a Midwesterner. 866-255-2762.
People on the coasts call us flyover country. The rest of the country likes to call us the heartland. But even we Midwesterners aren't exactly sure what the Midwest is.
I view the Midwest as being the area that's mostly former prairie land.
Anything west of 75 and this side of Mississippi, I suppose.
I think Midwesterners are fairly friendly. And there's a definite accent.
They're less rough than people from New York, less snooty than people from New England, more real than people from the far west.
This is Storylines Midwest. The number to call to join our conversation today is 866-255-2762. For the next 13 weeks, we'll explore Midwestern life through the lens of Midwestern literature. We're trying to find out what we can learn about ourselves and where we live through other people's words.
Where you grew up probably influenced who you are in some way. And that's what the book Townships is all about. Townships is a collection of essays. Some of them are from authors you know, like David Foster Wallace, and others are from people you may not have heard of. Michael Martone edited the collection. He asked writers who have roots in the Midwest to write about where they're from. Coming up on the program, we'll hear readings from the collection and talk to the authors about growing up in the Midwest. We'd also like to hear from you at 866-255-2762.
Michael Martone, as Keith mentioned, is the editor of Townships, the collection of essays we're talking about today. Michael grew up in Indiana, Fort Wayne to be specific. He went away to school at Johns Hopkins in Baltimore, and ever since he left for the first time, he's been telling stories and writing about the Midwest. His latest book is The Blue Guide to Indiana. Michael Martone is now the director of the Program for Creative Writing at the University of Alabama, and he's with us today. We'll also be taking your calls and questions, 866-255-2762. Hello, Michael.
Hello.
Thank you for joining us.
Oh, I'm excited.
Good. I wanted to start off today with just an excerpt, have you read an excerpt from your introduction to Townships so people can get an idea of how you envisioned the Midwest when you put the book together.
No other feature so marks the Midwestern landscape as the signature of the townships. The 6 mile squares broke down into 36 sections of 1 square mile each, and each square mile of 640 acres reduced to those plots of recognizable dimension, the 80, the back 40. There is nothing natural about it. It's not like the Spanish moss drooping in the southern trees or the dripping ferns of the Pacific Northwest, nor is it like the rocky scrabble in the soil of the East or the dusty reaches or buttes and mesas of the West. We know the Midwest by this arbitrary and artificial pattern that has been imposed upon it. The Midwest then began as a highly abstract work of the imagination and lingers so today. The power of the grid that overlays it often prevents us from seeing the place itself. It has been characterized from its inception in two dimensions alone, flattened by fiat. At the same time, for those of us from the Midwest, this plane geometry that enmeshes us might be the only connection we have between us. What links the auto worker in Detroit with the actuary in Des Moines, the mussel digger near Galena, and the strip miner near Athens? Perhaps it's only this thin tissue of coordinates plotted a long time ago that can tie together this region's inhabitants. We are Midwesterners because we think ourselves into this map of this place without having to fit into the place itself. We relate to each other on the mathematical plane alone.
Michael, when you were growing up in Fort Wayne, Indiana, did you give much thought to the fact that you were from the Midwest?
Oh, I think I did. I was just thinking, my neighborhood was actually bounded by township lines, I think, when I was growing up. I didn't know that. But, you know, when my mother said, you can go out to play, but don't cross State Street, don't cross Spring Street, don't go past the park on this side, that was actually a section of the township. I was also really aware of it, aware at least of being in the middle of things because of a strange sort of accident of the place where I grew up. Edith Hamilton, who was a writer of mythology, perhaps everybody knows that book,
yeah,
the mythology book.
Book
that you all read in junior high school. When I was in junior high school reading that book, I turned it over, and here, you know, here was this woman from Fort Wayne, it said, who wrote this book. So we all know these great Greek stories and all of this otherness, all these other places, because of this woman who grew up pretty much where I grew up. I grew up on land owned by her family. So I became pretty conscious pretty early about the sort of difference between sort of being where I was and the fact that there was a whole lot of other places.
I know when I was in high school in South Bend, Indiana, I really wanted to get out. Now, it was the 60s, and maybe that was part of it. But did you feel any of that? Did you feel the need to escape?
Well, you know, one thing that I think about when I think about the Midwest is that Midwesterners have to live, I think, with those contradictory notions all the time. In the introduction, there was the mention of the heartland. And the whole idea that, you know, I think secretly we believe that that we really are in the middle of things. You know, we are the heartland. And also, you know, geez, we are really what's holding this vast and disparate country together. But I think simultaneously, I think you grow up in the Midwest with that other feeling, that opposite feeling, which is that you are in the middle of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think one thing that characterizes being in the Midwest is this great American drama of community, wanting to stay put in place. At the same time, the greatness of this country has to do with its with our ability to move and to be mobile. And that's a great drama for America, and I think the particular drama of the Midwest.
When you got to Maryland to go to school, what kind of impressions of the Midwest did you find among the people that you met?
Well, they didn't know anything about it. Most of the people I went to school with were from the East or from the West, South. And, you know, many of them, I always like to say, they knew more about, say, Europe or India than they did know about Indiana. And, you know, when I would just tell the sort of stories about growing up in Indiana, it was as strange to them as the planet Mingo. So that was a good lesson for me as a writer. I thought, well, geez, I don't have to really work hard to come up with something new. I can just sort of tell the truth, and it's already strange. So.
What do you think, I mean, people from all over the Midwest, and however you define it, I think you use 6 or 7 states in your introduction. I think mm-hmm. we might use 8. Some people mm-hmm. use 10. What do you think that the people who live in these 6 or 7 or 10 states, what do you think it is that we share?
Well, I mean, as my introduction for townships tried to prove, is it probably not much, except this sort of strange arbitrary net that was laid over this this region. I mean, I think that is an interesting. I think one thing that we share is that we really don't know where the Midwest is. Mm-hmm. I mean, in another essay, I sort of call it the leftover, not also the flyover, but also the leftover, mm-hmm. because there have been no actual boundaries, and so it's always interesting. I mean, you might know that there's a Midwestern Literature Conference at Michigan State every year, and it's very funny to go to that conference because when people give papers about their Midwestern literature, I mean, these are professors of Midwestern literature, they always spend the first 2 or 3, you know, minutes talking about what their Midwest is. So, you know, strangely or paradoxically, maybe that's the one thing that holds us together. It's a place where no one really knows where it is, but people want to be from there. And I think the from is important, that I'm from there. So maybe that leads us to a discussion about what are some of the characteristics in the character, the values of the character, the beliefs of the characters that want to call themselves Midwestern. So,
Well, that does lead us there. What are some of the values and the characteristics, do you think?
Well, I think one of the things, and I think it is related to the landscape, one of the things has to do with a great deal of silence, or an understanding of silence or and subtlety in a way that I think people from other places don't get. When I taught at Iowa State University, I would have office hours, and my students would come in, and many of those students were from farms. And really hadn't grown up talking to people. So for the conference, they would sit there, and I'd say, "How you doing, Alan?" And Alan would wait a bit and say, "Okay." And then I'd go back and work a little bit on whatever I was working on and say, "Anything you want to talk about?" "No, no, this is great." And I'd always get great evaluations at the end saying, "Oh, you know, what great what great accessibility." So I think it's that understatement, that subtlety. You know, the landscape of the Midwest isn't dramatic. It isn't like the mountains. It isn't like the sea. And yet, I think it's gorgeous all over. But that beauty of the landscape is appreciated subtly. And I think that's one of the things that I think of in the character of the Midwest.
But then how do we fit in our big urban centers, our cities, all those factories, the Detroit and the Chicago, even the east side of Fort Wayne?
Well, I think you fit those in, because except for maybe Chicago. I was saying something like this when I was in Illinois the other day, and someone said, "I'm from Chicago," and I don't really think of myself like that in the Midwest. But yet Chicago, too, all the time it sort of proclaims its big shoulders and its largeness and makes that claim. It always sort of is talking about its secondary status or tertiary status. Right. It never really is sort of asserts you know, all the way. So I don't know.
You're listening to Storylines Midwest. Our guest today is Michael Martone, the editor of the collection Townships, a collection of essays we're talking about today. I'm Charity Nebbe.
And I'm Keith Taylor. Michael, it's good to have you. Do you miss the Midwest now that you live in the South?
Oh, well, it's nice now. I'm not that far away. I'm never really that far away, so I do miss it, though. When I drive north, when I was visiting some friends in Iowa, you cross the river, cross the Tennessee, and come up to the prairie in Illinois. You know, as the poet says, the heart leaps up, at least for me, when that plain opens out. It really is strikingly different. I live in Alabama, which is a rural state, and I was so surprised and so shocked to find that rural meant that there were a lot of forests. But to see that open space, to see that sky begin to open up, that I think that too might be one of the boundaries of the Midwest. So I do miss that.
Michael, when you were talking about, you think that there's something that people want to identify themselves with when they say that they are a Midwesterner. I know that for me growing up, particularly when I was in high school, you know, when we'd go other places and I told people, "I'm from Iowa," you get a reaction, usually something about growing potatoes, you know.
Right,
and there came a point where I didn't want to tell people I was from Iowa anymore. Mm-hmm. Was there a time for you when saying that you were from Indiana, from the Midwest, changed from being something you were ashamed of to being something you were proud of?
No, not for me, but I understand it perfectly, because I think there really are, if you are from the Midwest and you go out into the larger country and you want to make your way in the world, I think there are two responses. One response is to sort of out-Eastern the Easterner, or out-Western the Westerner, that you become even more the sophisticate than you are. And a great example of that from my hometown is Bill Blass. Bill Blass, the incredible fashion designer who heads out to New York and never mentions he's from Indiana, and of course becomes the epitome of sort of New York style. And then there's the other response, which is to sort of remain the bumpkin and the gee-whizzer and you know, looking up at the tall buildings and saying, "Wow, all these people." And I think you see that a little bit in David Letterman. And I think, you know, basically you have to sort of, if you are a Midwesterner and you go out into the world, you have to sort of either retain that innocence that people assume you have, or you you completely abandoned it in spades.
And we get back to townships for, not that we were a long ways away from it, but
drifting.
But when you were putting townships together, what came out of that whole process that was unexpected? You went to these writers, you asked for particular things. Did you get things that were not what you expected?
Oh, incredible surprises. I mean, the first surprise was that for actually no money, I got that many writers to produce that many interesting and varied essays just because they wanted to do it.
Well, when you went to the writers in the first place, I want to know before we get too deep into this, what did you ask them for?
I just said, do you know about townships? Some did, some didn't. And I said, I have this idea that I'd like you to just write about this square part of land that you grew up on. And you can do anything you want with that, but just pick up a square. Now, I tried to sort of distribute it through the states that I was targeting. And one of the surprises was a writer who I thought of as a Minnesota writer, that would be Lon Otto, turned out to write about Fort Wayne, Indiana. That here, Lon, who I knew only as a Minnesota writer, had also actually thought grew up in the same town that I had. So it was sort of skewed that way, that people I thought of actually being in one state representing, say, one demographic, really wanted to write about another part of the Midwest that was sort of secret and hidden. So that was one surprise. Another surprise, I think, was say in the David Foster Wallace essay, when someone like David actually used the grid to its fullest extent. In that essay, he sort of ends up, a tornado throws him against a cyclone fence and the grid gets plastered on his skin. It was just, delightful the way people ran with it. And they did so, all of these were original. It wasn't republished. It was not a republished anthology. So I was just always amazed.
Although some of these people have reprinted these essays since, that David Foster Wallace essays had a whole
definitely.
Life. Yeah,
that's right.
Which is fun.
So in reading the essays that you got in, did your conception of the Midwest change?
Well, I knew maybe what actually be, it didn't change so much, but I was hoping that I could actually find some of those threads and themes that we had talked about earlier. And of course, what I got in was really, again, just an incredible mess. It didn't solidify. And so another, metaphor that I tried to use in trying to tie this all together had to do with sort of quilting and, how the landscape itself looks like a quilt and how this anthology was really sort of like a crazy quilt, still a little bit a source of warmth and home, but still pretty desperate. It's a big, big place, and I think that's the other thing that I live in the South right now, and if somebody says, well, I'm going to write about Alabama, nobody here ever says, well, what are you going to write about Alabama for? Or what are you going to write about the South for? I mean, that just goes without saying. Of course you would write about the South. But I think if you're a Midwestern writer and you say, I'm going to write about the Midwest, often you hear, well, why? What is there? And if the book taught me anything, it was the sort of, we're at the beginning of really sort of capturing the stories of this place. I think other regions in this country are of course sort of ahead of us that way. Of course they're ahead of us. Ahead of us that way, that they take their stories seriously, and we're still sort of tentative and trying to figure out what this place is.
Do you think that might be what we can say we accomplish most by trying to do this self-definition?
Well,
we tell these stories?
Oh, I definitely think that. I one time, Scott Sanders and I got in a sort of debate, just a friendly debate, but I was saying that a place really doesn't exist until the stories of the place exist. It's a tree in a forest argument,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And Scott was saying, oh, no, the place, place is there. It's always there, and it doesn't need people, to for its placeness. And I said, no. I like to think of the book like those pictures from outer space, where they take a picture of the United States at night with all the lights, and you look at that sort of vast middle, and you just see a few lights. You know, mm-hmm. We need those stories to light up those places. I think, and I hope the book was going to sort of do a little bit of that.
Our guest today is Michael Martone. He's the editor of Townships. He's a Midwesterner, and he's the director of the Program for Creative Writing at the University of Alabama. We'll be continuing our conversation in a few minutes. This is Storylines Midwest.
It's Storylines Midwest. I'm Keith Taylor. We're taking a look at a collection of essays called Townships. How did where you grow up influence who you are? And what do you think it means to be a Midwesterner?
And you know, they may not be true, but we do have a lot of stereotypes about the different regions of the country. The East Coast is sophisticated. The West Coast is laid back, as we were talking about earlier. The Midwest is the heartland, whatever that means.
But we can't even really agree what states are in what region. Although, Charity, I think everybody seems to agree that Iowa is certainly the Midwest.
Though, you know, Keith, even within the state of Iowa, there seems to be some regionalism. And Mary Swander explained that in her essay from Townships. Here she is reading from West of Eden, an essay about growing up and coming to terms with being from Iowa.
The map of Iowa mimics that of the United States in miniature, even down to the detail of the Florida Peninsula that we know as Keokuk. The geography of Iowa, with its two major rivers, the Mississippi and the Missouri, forming the eastern and western boundaries of the state, imitates the layout of the nation with the Atlantic and Pacific Oceans. So the two Iowa coasts are hillier, classically prettier, with the flatter land, the Midwest, in the center section of the state. High limestone cliffs jut out from the banks of the Mississippi on the eastern border, while the sandy loam of the Less Hills billows up and deposits itself along the Missouri. Like the U.S., the eastern part of Iowa is thought to be more suave, more oriented toward business, with its manufacturing centers in Waterloo, Cedar Rapids, and the Quad Cities, and more full of money. The western part of Iowa, like its counterpoint, is wilder, more independent in nature, more politically conservative. Western Iowa is really the beginning of the western United States. Just over those Less Hills, out of the Missouri River Valley, irrigation begins. Corn gives way to wheat and grazing land. In western Iowa, you begin to see cowboy hats and boots, large belt buckles with names like Dirk stamped into the metal.
Mary Swander reading from her essay, West of Eden. It's Storylines Midwest. I'm Keith Taylor.
And I'm Charity Nebbe. Like many Midwesterners, Mary Swander left home only to find out that the Midwest is her home. I spoke to her recently to find out why she returned to the Midwest and to Iowa.
I came back to Iowa because I discovered it in a new way. As a child growing up here, you think that it's a dump, basically, and you want to get out as fast as you can. And then you go off and live in other places, and you realize that you had a good life. And so I came back in my early 30s and toured around the state. I was part of the Poet in the Schools program, and I went to every corner and crevice in the state and every kind of school, and really had a wonderful time rediscovering the folklore and the folk life of Iowa.
So the perception of Iowa changes so much from being a place you want to leave to being a place you want to come home to. Can you define what it is that makes it a place you want to come home to?
Two things, the people and the land. The people, to me, are funny, warm, interesting, smart, inventive. And the more you scratch the surface, the more you we'll see these kinds of qualities. And then the land's important to me because I'm a big gardener, and there's no better place to garden than Iowa. It's just amazing. In other places, you really have to struggle and scratch and do all sorts of hijinks to get something to grow, and here it's magic.
Do you think that Iowans are typical Midwesterners?
Oh, I think it's the epitome of the Midwest.
Mary, when you were traveling around the rest of the country, living in other parts of the country, and you told people you were from Iowa, what kind of a reaction did you get?
Oh, it's funny. You know, when I was on the East Coast, of course, they thought it was just the complete end of the earth. They couldn't see why anyone would want to live there. When I was on the West Coast, the question they would ask me was, when are you moving to California? And when I was in New Mexico, that was really interesting because I don't think they knew where Iowa was, but they would just go, oh, okay, okay. There was this kind of an acceptance down there. And then when I was in Alabama, when I was in the Deep South, it was wonderful because, you know, no place is dumped on more than Iowa. If a place is dumped on more than Iowa, it's probably Alabama. And so they thought it was just fine, too. It was from Iowa.
So when you were in your 20s and traveling around, did you ever have a time when you didn't want to tell people you were from the Midwest?
Oh, sure. I mean, that, you know, that it's not a great place to be from, especially if you're trying to escape from it.
Do you ever think about leaving Iowa now?
Oh, you know, I take these little jaunts out and go teach here and there, and it's really fun and refreshing and gives me a new point of view, but this will probably always be my home.
Well, Mary, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Mary Swander is the co-author of The Healing Circle, Authors' Writing of Recovery, and her essay West of Eden appears in Townships. It's Storylines Midwest.
We're talking about hometowns today. You can join us at 866-255-2762. Coming up, we'll talk a little bit about some of the Midwestern parts of the Midwest that you don't usually think about.
We'll also hear from a couple of other Midwestern writers, and we'll continue our conversation with Michael Martone, the editor of Townships, the collection of essays we're talking about today. And Keith, I've been thinking so much about that question about how where you come from influences who you are. Because the 22 acres that I grew up on in northeastern Iowa is so important to me. It's so much a part of who I am. And I was thinking about that today, and I think that it's not even so much that the land created me. I think it's because we had this 22 acres. My family's lived there for 20 years. And together, we reconstructed prairie, we have the beginnings of a hardwood forest, we have a wetland on the land, and the land itself reflects the values that my parents instilled in all of us. So for me, it's almost like the personification, if land can be a personification, of who I am.
That's interesting, Charity. I think that's going to be exactly the focus of the show we do on Aldo Leopold later on in our series. Exactly that kind of thing. That's what they did with that sand farm.
Absolutely. We'd like you to join our conversation today as well. 866-255-2762. We want to hear your stories. For more information on Storylines Midwest or the books we're reading, you can visit our website, which is storylines.ala.org, or you can check out your local public library. Participating libraries have copies of the books, program schedules, and even discussion guides if you want to start a Storylines book club. You're listening to Storylines Midwest.
Storylines Midwest is a project of the American Library Association, funded by the National Endowment for the Humanities and Barnes & Noble Booksellers.